Invite you to take your Bible, follow very closely to the things that we'll be talking about. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you all for being here. For our visitors, we thank you for being here. Hope you'll stick around, let us get further acquainted with you, and want you to know you're our honored guest. We're thankful for you. Thankful for all of our members here, and hope that we will all pay close attention. You can see on the screen that I've entitled the lesson, Every Jesus Is Not Right. I'm looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice with me these sobering, very sobering words that Paul writes to the Corinthians. He expresses his own concern about this matter in this way by saying in verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds," here are Christians at Corinth, "your minds," and of course by extension that would be us too, "your minds may be corrupted." What is it corrupted from? It's corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That is, there is a way that Jesus Christ has been presented in a very simple way. Simply, in this sense, Paul said, "What I knew, what I learned by revelation, I wrote it down in few words, whereby when you read it, you may understand my knowledge." So we can get the same knowledge of Jesus Christ by reading it that Paul had. And so I'm afraid, Paul says, that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, notice that they're using the name Jesus, but it's another Jesus. It's not the one we presented. If he comes and he preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, the standard is, what did the apostles preach? That's always going to be the standard. You're always going to have to go back and check everything because Satan is really crafty. He can get us thinking things that really are not biblical. They're not true to the scriptures. They're not what the apostles originally preached. And we might not even know that. That's the deception of Satan, is that he can get us thinking that we've got the right Jesus in mind, and actually we have corrupted, we have a corrupted version of Jesus. Now he says, I'm afraid that's happening. And I'm afraid for you, because you might not even realize that it's happening. Your minds may be corrupted from that simplicity. They're preaching a Jesus, but it's not the one we preached. And if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, is different than what you originally received. And a different gospel, they're still using the word gospel, they're still talking about Jesus, using the word Jesus, they're still saying it's good news, but they've corrupted it and they've presented something that's different. That's why I'm saying that based upon this passage and many, many others, we've got to be careful. We must not just assume that we know the truth about the real Jesus. Every Jesus is not right. So let's talk about the real one. I want to title this, "Let Me Tell You About My Jesus." Let's see if the one that we claim is correct. That is, it's the one that has been presented by the apostles and has not been corrupted through the years. Let's make sure, because if our minds have been corrupted, this is not good. If we don't have the right Jesus, we don't have the right salvation either. Something, we might be assuming something there that we don't need to assume. So we got to be very, very careful on our toes, because Satan is really tricky about this. And that's why Jesus said, listen, beware of false prophets who, and many of them have gone out into the world. You will not realize it because they look and they seem real innocent. They come to you, and you, by all appearance, they're just like the rest of the sheep. They're like everybody else. They're in sheep's clothing, though. You've got to dig deeper. You've got to see what's underneath. Jesus warned about that over and over, and he even told his disciples, listen, it's not just saying, Lord, Lord. It's not just saying that Jesus is the Lord. It's not just using the name Jesus. But he that does the will of my Father. So you got to check into it. You got to be very, very careful. Let me point out in this that there were various Jesuses. Various Jesuses invented in the first century. Now let me say this. If there were lots of different versions floating around because some people got wind of Jesus, the name Jesus, they liked some of the package deal of what the apostles presented, and some of it they didn't like, and so they kind of took out what they didn't like, and then they refashioned the gospel message in a way that made better sense to them, or at least it seemed better to them. They liked to repackage it. Well, there were various ways that was done in the first century, and Satan hadn't stopped doing that. In fact, if anything, it's worse now than then. There was a Gnostic version. Gnostics were a group of people who thought they knew better. That's the word, the word Gnostic is a part of the word know. And they thought they knew a little better than anybody else. And so they prided themselves in having figured out something everybody else hadn't figured out. And especially those apostles, they didn't, you know, they were uneducated men. You can't go along with everything they presented about Jesus. And we know a little better that God would not taint himself with human flesh. And so in 1 John, John says, now listen to this. You're going to have to test the spirits. 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. Beloved, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits whether they are of God. Well, how are you going to know? How are you going to test it? You're going to test it by what has already been approved, proven and confirmed by miraculous powers of the apostles and prophets. That which has already been delivered, that's it. That's the truth. Somebody comes along and says, well, I figure this way, that flesh is sinful. And God is not going to inhabit sinful flesh. So really the true thing, the true situation is, and we know a little better, is that Jesus did not inhabit actual flesh. It just looked like it was flesh. That's the Gnostic Jesus. Now look at what John says. He says, now you be very careful and test them because many, many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That's one clear test. We the apostles have already presented that God came in the flesh. That's already been told over and over and over again how Jesus was born in the flesh of a virgin. He occupied a fleshly tabernacle. He did come in the flesh, and he was still the Son of God. Now, if somebody comes along and says, well, we've got a version of Jesus that doesn't include that part of him, then you know immediately. That's one way you'll know that they're presenting a different Jesus. It's another one, not the one we preach. So that's an example, isn't it? It's not that they were saying Jesus is not the Lord. They believe that. But they just didn't believe he dwelt in the flesh. And John says, well, you better just mark that off. That's not the same Jesus. That's another one that we didn't preach. So the standard is always, what do the apostles preach? We have that in the New Testament. Compare anything that comes along that's different than that, and then you can dismiss it. If it's different than that which the apostles preach, you can dismiss it. There was another version of Jesus that some brethren were circulating early in that first century. And that was just a little bit different, but that you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but Gentiles, you're going to have to come into Jesus Christ the same way we Jews did. You're going to have to come through the law of Moses and circumcision. You got to do that in order to have Jesus Christ. You got to come through the same door we Jews went through. Now, that's what Paul fought in Galatia. He wrote the letter to the churches of Galatia saying, listen, I'm surprised that you're so soon removed from him who called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They're changing it up. And I'm surprised that you're willing to swallow it. What were they doing? Well, they're saying that Gentiles have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. The apostles didn't preach that. That was not the original gospel that the apostles preached. So a law justifying Jesus is a corrupted Jesus. It's a version of Jesus that the apostles did not preach. In the fourth chapter, two brethren, get this in mind, that they believed in Jesus, but it wasn't enough. Because if you have the wrong information about your salvation in Jesus Christ, you have a corrupted version of Jesus. So he says, I'm afraid for you. You're celebrating these days and months and seasons and times of year. You're pulling things out of the law and you're demanding that we practice those things. That's not the Jesus we presented to you. You need to stand fast in the liberty with which you were called by Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, then he goes on to say that, and he says, you who are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. You don't have Jesus. Grace and Jesus go together. The real Jesus I'm talking about. Another Jesus might require that law, but not the real one. Not the one we presented to you. So what you see, there's two examples. Two examples, and we haven't even touched the hem of the garment, of the different versions of a different Jesus that they were presented. And Paul says to the Corinthians, look, you're swallowing some of this stuff, and I'm afraid that Satan has corrupted your minds. There was a libertarian version of Jesus in 2 Peter chapter 2, where these people, they promise you freedom. They promise you liberty. But they themselves are slaves of corruption. They're not presenting the true Jesus. There are also people who despise authority and they speak evil of things that they don't really understand. That's a libertarian Jesus where you're free to do all these free things that Jesus didn't say you could do. A libertarian Jesus is a corrupted Jesus. If it gives you more freedom than the New Testament gives you, then it is the wrong Jesus. It's a wrong version of him. Jude 4, verse 4, says that you need to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. You got to stay with that and contend earnestly for it. It says, because some people are going to take the grace of God, take the subject of God's grace, and they're going to extend it beyond what it actually extends to. That is, they're going to make the grace of God cover all kinds of licentiousness. You know that word licentiousness? That word has to do with license, where you give yourself license. You give yourself license to do something, and you say to yourself, well, the grace of God will cover that. And you give others license to practice something that is not what the New Testament allows. And so it is a grace-only Jesus. It's convenient to just say, well, the grace of God will cover that too. You keep on doing that, then you're making it into licentiousness. You turn the grace of God into licentiousness. And that's not what the grace of God does. In fact, Romans chapter 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, absolutely not. We can't look at the grace of God that way and use it that way. That's a perversion. So that's another variation of the real Jesus in the first century. And I might say that's a popular version of Jesus today. It's not the right one. It really doesn't take a lot of thought to just look around and see that in our own time we have modern versions of Jesus, modern concepts, and they don't match. They don't match each other, much less what the apostles taught. For example, you've got today, you just look around, you see that there's a Catholic version, that they're very sincerely devoted to their concept of a Jesus, and they use the name Jesus with all their icons and relics and rituals and their Mariology, their devotion to Mary, and all of that. You would think, well, is that the same Jesus that the apostles preached? And then when you compare it to a group just down the street, they don't agree with each other. Do they have the same Jesus? People are quick to say they have the same Jesus. Not necessarily. I mean, it just doesn't fit. Especially when we look at the first century where they had various versions of Jesus, all using the name Jesus, but they had various doctrines associated with it. It wasn't just a simple matter of everybody's got the same Jesus. They don't. They didn't then and they don't now. And that would look totally different. Both of those versions of Jesus looks totally different than the Pentecostal version of Jesus. You see, they're all using the term Jesus. But our minds are corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, and we're presenting and we're packaging Jesus the way we want Him to be. That's the fear that Paul had, is that I'm afraid we're doing this. It's kind of like what they did with God in the Old Testament. I don't like the real God. I don't like what's said about Him, so we'll repackage Him. We'll make Him like this, and He'll fit what we want. And God says, I don't want you to do that. You cannot do that. You must not do that. But the Pentecostal Jesus is one that's very feel good, feel and subjective. You imagine so much. Your imaginations just form your concepts of Jesus. And conveniently, it just fits what you wanted to do to start with. And how does that Jesus fit with the Calvinist version of Jesus? And here's a Jesus that has already predetermined and pre-programmed every one of us. You're thinking what you're thinking right now because you were programmed to do that at this moment. And I'm programmed to say what I'm saying at this moment. That's the Calvinist Jesus. That's not the same Jesus as the Catholic Jesus. It's not the same one as the Baptist. And it's not the same one as the Pentecostal, but clearly, we're not talking about the same Jesus. We're talking about our various versions of Jesus, and that's what Paul was afraid of. I'm afraid we've corrupted the real Jesus that was presented in the first century. And today, this is a battle we have to fight. Everyone is accepted just as you are. That's another version of Jesus. I mean, you put the name Jesus with it, and you... So he just loves everybody. You're accepted just as you are. Even though the apostles never said that. Seems to be a different version of Jesus, doesn't it, than the ones the apostles preached. Everyone was not accepted in the first century as they were, and they're not now. And all grace and no wrath, Jesus. But there's no hell. There's no consequence You even have them packaged up now where they make like Jesus and John had some fleshly interest in one another. He's a gay love, Jesus. I don't see that. That's a different Jesus. You're repackaging him to be what you want him to be. You're not getting your information from the apostles. You're not limiting yourself to that which was originally preached. You're trying to repackage Jesus so he fits what you want to believe about him. Let me say this. I know Jesus is not super critical either. And sometimes we can be super critical and that version of Jesus is not right either. You know, Jesus walked and talked with 12 apostles. And sometimes you scratch your head and say, why did he say that? Why are they arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Or why couldn't they see what Jesus was saying? It took him 3 years and he still didn't get it through. So I know that the real Jesus is not just super critical where he's just looking for something to condemn us for. He's not that way, because if he was, we would see him acting that way toward those 12 knuckleheads, those 12 apostles. So he does want us to grow. And he does patiently work with us to grow. So he's not just right on the edge just trying to shoot us down at the first thing that's wrong in our thinking. So he's not super critical. But at the same time, the other opposite, the extreme that people go to, you seem like we can't find a happy medium ground. We got to say he's not critical of anything. That's not the real Jesus either. He was critical of a lot of things. His entire Sermon on the Mount was very critical. So he's neither super critical nor is he against being critical at all. And some people today have that Jesus. He's anti-critical. He's not going to criticize anything. And their version of Jesus said, oh, you don't talk critically about anybody's faith. You got the wrong Jesus. Because if you read the New Testament Jesus, you're going to see Jesus critical. And he's critical because he loves people's souls and he wants them to be saved and he cannot leave them there. There's also what I might refer to as the Jesus Seminar Jesus. I don't know if you've heard about this group, but they sit around telling themselves that they're super smart, kind of like the Gnostics of the first century. That they figured out that Jesus wouldn't have said this and Jesus wouldn't have said that, and they start cutting out what they vote. They vote on what they think Jesus actually said. And when it comes down to it, you know, this little tiny volume that we call the New Testament, it's tinier than that. It gets down to a handful of verses that they allow because they voted. I don't believe Jesus would have said, what are you basing that on? Your imagination. You want to imagine Jesus a certain way, and you don't want to get your information from the apostles. So pick what you want. And that's what a lot of people are doing, is picking what they want. When you do that, you don't have the right Jesus. You've got something different. You can't do that. So when we sum it all up, Paul is urging us to be very, very careful that we don't let ourselves get deceived. And how can that happen? Well, let me point this out. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, here's a very good way to go about making sure you don't have the wrong Jesus and you got things right. And you're going to keep improving your knowledge of that. Acts 17, verse 11 says, these were more noble-minded than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with readiness of mind. The word of God with readiness of mind. And it wasn't just, you know, anything the preacher says. It was searching the Scriptures daily. In other words, you take this lesson tonight and you take it home and you study it out and make sure that what I said was according to the Scriptures accurately used. They handled the Scriptures accurately. They searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. They heard this. Now, the thing that's going to determine whether it's so is not that he said that, but whether it matches the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the final authority. So the right Jesus is the one that hasn't been corrupted. And it's revealed only in the Bible. Paul says to the Ephesians, and I mentioned this a while ago, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, now the Spirit gave it to Paul. He says, he gave it to me by revelation. I didn't make it up. It wasn't given to me by imagination. There's a huge difference between imagination and revelation. Revelation reveals God's mind. It reveals His truth and says, this is it. Imagination says, well, this is what I think or this is what I would feel about it. The right Jesus is revealed. And the Spirit revealed it to the apostles, and he says, whereby when, and we've written it in few words. Now look at this. Few words. And they point this out. This is the New Testament with the Psalms and Proverbs. So it's even a little thinner than that. Few words. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge. You'll know what I know. You'll know the exact same thing the apostles knew. So it's revealed only in the Bible, and you check it out. The real Jesus was not always popular. He was not always positive. He took a whip, and he drove some people out of the temple. If you want a positive, all positive preacher, you don't want Jesus and you don't want Paul. He was not always positive and he was not always popular. He said some things in John chapter 6 that little by little, after they started trying to digest what he was saying, they started one by one leaving. And it got down to his 12 apostles and he says, will you also go away? He wasn't popular at all times, especially, and he was popular at one point when they wanted him to be a king and he wouldn't do it, an earthly king, and he wouldn't let them do that. So in John chapter 6, they were going to take him by force and they were going to make Jesus what they want him to be. But Jesus said, I'm not going to let you make me what you want me to be. I don't do that. So the truth of the matter is he was not always positive. And he was not always popular. Still, the right information about the right Jesus is given to us in the Scripture so we can keep checking ourselves. And that's what we're going to have to do. That Jesus, clearly, if we know what he did not approve of in the first century, we certainly ought to know that he would not approve of most churches today. Most churches. He might not even approve of us. Because our minds may have been corrupted. How are we going to know? You're going to have to do some studying of this issue. You're going to have to study about the real Jesus. You're going to have to check yourself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, I've written these things so that you could learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. That which is written is the standard, and you don't think of any man above that standard. The real Jesus wouldn't approve because most of the churches today are man approved, man started them, and men imagined their Jesus like they want him to be. The real Jesus says, everybody's got to turn their hearts around. Everybody. I don't care who you are. Everybody's got to repent. He calls everybody to repent. In fact, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, times of this ignorance God once overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere. It doesn't matter who you are. Nicodemus came to him by night, a religious man. Jesus says, you got to start all over, buddy. You got to start all over. You got to be born again. You see, the real Jesus is a Jesus that challenges us to the core, to the intentions of our heart, to the thoughts and intentions of our heart. He challenges us and he calls all people to repent. He doesn't celebrate all the divisions. He doesn't celebrate that at all. Men celebrate that, but the real Jesus doesn't. He prayed that his disciples would be one. He calls people to turn around their thinking. He calls all people to higher standards of righteousness. You got your standard here and you want to set it there? I'm going to call you higher than that. He calls people to a higher standard of righteousness than we like to settle on. And finally, that means he's not everybody's desired version. You can't make him what you want him to be. He is who he is. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same tomorrow. He's not going to change with the time. Oh, that was the old Jesus, but you see, you got to change with the times. No, you don't. You change according to the will of Jesus Christ. You check out what the will of Jesus Christ is. You try not to be unwise about it, but try to understand what the will of the Lord is. And that means you've got to do a lot of soul searching and comparing it to the Scriptures. That's the right Jesus. And brethren, Paul was concerned about brethren doing that. He was not looking at anybody but the brethren there at Corinth. We cannot afford to assume the true Jesus is what we want him to be or how we have imagined we'd like him to be. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't fit what you want him to be. You fit what he wants you to be. And he wants you to be in the image of his son. God wants you to be in the image of his son. That means then you've got to do some soul searching. Every one of us have got to look into our Bibles and keep forming our concepts by means of the Bible. We've got to keep looking in it, examining it, making sure that we've got the right Jesus. We've got the right concept of Jesus. And if we haven't, we've got to straighten it out. We've got to get it right. This evening, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, perhaps you've just lagged along thinking that it's okay, that your Jesus or your idea of Jesus just accepts you as you are. Brethren, that's not so. Everybody's got to repent. That means turn around. Turn around your thinking, turn around your intentions, your will. You've got to turn to him. You've got to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins so that his blood can wash that clean and you can come up a new life in Christ Jesus, committed to him, committed to taking his yoke and learning from him, learning all you can from him, you'll be finding your rest for your soul. And that's what Jesus wants you to have. If you're here and you're subject to that invitation, he wants you. Come now as we stand together and sing.